brethren, we hope you've had a good lunch and that your old flesh is nourished enough that the new creature can reign over it and enjoy further blessings of nourishment as we continue with our convention. We have been enjoying a journey thus far, concentrating primarily on the time that we're in and the restitution that will follow. Now we're going to go back in time a little bit and consider Bible chronology. And Brother Darcy is selected for his opening hymn, 63, He Will Make It Plain. Thank you, Sister Jane. Brother Don, if you would lead us in prayer, we'd appreciate that.
Our most gracious and loving Father in heaven, we come to thy throne of grace with thankful hearts for bringing us together on this blessed day and to hear thy words spoken from this platform. We thank thee for the measure of truth thou hast blessed us with. Help us to be faithful to it. And we ask thy special blessing upon this meeting, upon Brother Darcy as he ministers unto us. May his words be thy words. And bless each heart and head bowed before thee at this time. We pray thy continuance with us. We thank thee for the many blessings that we've had and for those that are to come. We give thanks and pray thy forgiveness for anything said or done amiss. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brethren. Now we'll hear from Brother Darcy Andrus on Bible chronology. I should say there should be handouts. If anyone does not have a handout, please raise their hand and I'll be happy to get you one.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Good afternoon, brethren. For all intents and purposes, this is the lesson right here. In this hour, well, first of all, again, I want to bring the love and greetings of my parents, Brother Jerry and Sister Dolores Andrus. They really wanted to be here. And I just spoke with Sister Millie, and she again sends her love. She's doing much better. since we don't have much time, we'll start right into this. In this hour, we want to provide an overview of Bible chronology, the chronology that is presented in the second volume of the Scripture Studies. We gave the handout, which are basically the charts from the second volume with a couple of additions, to allow you to follow, because we will not be covering all the points of chronology. This document that you should have a copy of, entitled Studies in the Scriptures, Volume 2, Chronology Charts, is made up of all the number of year charts from the second volume, with a column added to show the date when that period ended. Also included are charts for any of the periods which are covered, but which have no such graphic representation in the volume. And in the period of the King's chart, we have added the Chronicles citations. So why study the chronology as presented by the pastor? Revelations 1, 1-5, which we've considered twice already today, and then verses 10 and 20. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servant or his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. John continues, I heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. Write these things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So here we note several things. That the glorified Jesus is the faithful witness. He is the presenter of God's truth. There are seven churches. There are seven messengers to those seven churches. And these seven messengers are in the Lord's hands. They are His servants. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. And ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. We can and are expected to know the truth, to understand God's plan. Luke 12, 37, and verses 42 to 44. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. That's consistent with the Revelations text. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. It is our Lord Jesus who serves us, who provides our meat, the word of truth. And when he returned, he appointed a servant to minister all that he had. Daniel 12:4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The understanding withheld for so long was to be revealed in the time of the end, which we know by observation and our studies we are in. The last church, with the last messenger to the church, Revelations tells us, is the Laodicean church. Revelations 3, verses 14 and 20. Unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things which saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in with him and sup with him, and he with me. In this Laodicean time, we should expect to and be able to identify the message, the messenger, to this stage of the church, the one who was given stewardship over all that was to be revealed. Ezekiel 9, verses 1 to 4 and verse 11. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And he called the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side, and said, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry for all the abominations that are done in the midst of her. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou commandest. There is no doubt about who this individual is. We have seen the fulfillment of these and other scriptures, which identify the one who would write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not tarry. Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3. This vision has been provided to us by our Lord through that wise and faithful servant, Charles Taz Russell. This table and associated book are mentioned also in Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now go write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever. In Isaiah 30, there is also a warning given, verses 1 and 2 and 9 through 14. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh forth suddenly and an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is broken in pieces and shall not spare. We must make certain that we are not of those who would go down to Egypt, to the world, to seek counsel of those who will not hear the law of the Lord, of those who seek not right but smooth, carefully and complexly reasoned deceits. The Lord will judge and deal with these accordingly. The pastor is the Lord's chosen messenger to provide to his, our Lord's, servants, things new and old. The one responsible for all his our Lord's goods. This is how our Master has arranged and provided for us. Therefore, we must study and prove the message from our Lord through the pastor in the Scriptures. Workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 3:15. Not going down to Egypt for assistance. Now to our consideration of chronology as presented in Volume 2. On page 44, the pastor says, each should consider particularly each of these periods and figure out for himself and see how firm a foundation for our faith is laid in God's Word. From page 39, the creation of Adam to AD 1873 was 6,000 years. And though the Bible contains no direct statement that the 7,000 will be the epoch of Christ's reign, the great Sabbath day of restitution to the world, yet the venerable tradition is not without reasonable foundation. The law given to Israel, the typical people, appointing that 6 days of labor and weariness should be followed by one of refreshment and rest from their own works, seems fitly to illustrate the 6,000 years in which the whole creation labors and groans under the bondage of sin and death, and the grand millennial day in which the weary and heavy laden may come up to Jesus Christ and find repentance and remission of sins. Nor is this pointing out of the seventh epoch or millennium the only value of chronology. For while there are several lines of prophecy entirely independent of chronology, it, chronology, is the measure by which several lines of prophecy are established. The perfect agreement between these two classes of prophetic teaching, some dependent on and some independent of chronology, is very strong proof, not only of the correctness of those applications, but also of the correctness of the chronology which shows this harmony. On the same principle that a key which will unlock a treasure casket difficult to open is evidently the true key. And a side note here. As we have seen, the Master was to send a messenger to open our understanding of these things, who would be used to unlock the mystery hidden from past ages. Isn't it reasonable that if we find one who has this key and can open these things, that in fact he must be the servant that the Lord sent? Back to the second volume. The chronology given in the volumes harmonizes the various prophetic statements relating to Christ's kingdom and its establishment by showing their relative order and time. Chronology is the stem or handle by which all the prophetic time proofs, as notches or wards of the key, are held together and operated. The following condensed statement of chronological periods may properly be termed Bible chronology, because by the Bible record alone is followed down to the first year of Cyrus, B.C. 536, a date well authenticated and generally accepted by scholars. Here the thread of Bible chronology ends, a little beyond the period where secular history begins to be reliable. This in itself is a marked evidence of the divine direction and oversight in helping us only where we are unable to help ourselves. So, to our charts. Let us consider the list of the periods covered in the second volume. We'll find that from the creation of Adam to the flood is 1656 years. From the flood to the covenant with Abraham, 427 years. From the covenant to the Exodus and the giving of the law, 46 years. From the Exodus to the division, to the giving of the law was 430 years. From the Exodus to the division of Canaan, 46 years. The period of the judges, 450 years. The period of the kings, 513 years. Period of desolation, 70. And from the end of the desolation to 81 is 536 years. And from 81 to 1873 is 1,872 years, giving us the 6,000 years. From the creation of Adam to A.D. 1873. The pastor proceeds to show the biblical proofs of these periods, starting with the chronology from the period from the creation of Adam to the day the flood was dried up. To calculate this, we go to the scriptures and add the years. Adam lived 130 years and begat Seth, Genesis 5:3. Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos, Genesis 5:6. And so on to Noah was 600 years old when the flood was on the earth, Genesis 7:6. Thus, 10 generations from Adam to the day the flood dried up is easily calculated and seen to be 656 years. The period from the flood to the covenant with Abraham at the death of Terah. Again, we go to the scriptures and add the years. Shem begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood, Genesis 11:10. Arphaxad lived 35 years and begat Seth, Genesis 11:12. And so on to the days of Terah, which were 205 years, Genesis 11:32. Adding these 9 more generations from the flood to Terah's death, 427 years. The period from the covenant with Abraham to the law. This is the first of 2 breaks in the historic narrative of the Old Testament, where we find that in the New Testament, God has provided bridges to span these chasms. It should increase our confidence that God has so arranged the record as to hide his times and seasons until his due time for revealing them had come, just as he has done with other truths. From the covenant with Abraham to the giving of the law, Paul declares is a length of 430 years. The covenant included the promise of the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. The covenant was made as soon as Abraham had entered the land of Canaan, Genesis 7, verses 1 to 7, which he did immediately after his father died in Haran on the way to Canaan. We have the date of the covenant just after Terah's death, thus established by Stephen's statement in Acts 7, verses 2 to 4, and Paul's statement in Galatians 3, 16 and 17, that the law was 430 years after the covenant. The first feature of the law was the Passover, which was instituted the same day that Israel left Egypt, Exodus 12, verses 41 to 43, 47, 50, and 51. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. The covenant with Abraham took effect from the time that, leaving Haran, he set foot in Canaan, the land of promise. From that time, he and all Israel in him, yet unborn, became heirs of the things promised and sojourners or pilgrims waiting on God for the fulfillment of the promise. This sojourning had lasted 430 years to a day when Israel left and Egypt and received that first feature of the law, the institution of the Passover. The statements of Moses and Paul, therefore, refer to precisely the same period, thus giving most positive evidence that from the covenant with Abraham to the giving of the law was 430 years. Thus we have our third period clearly established, and when we mark the Lord's particularity to a day in furnishing its link, this link in the chain of chronology, it should give us strong confidence. The period from the Exodus to the division of the land. Israel's 40 years, or day of temptation in the wilderness, was followed by 6 years of war in Canaan and the dividing of the land among the tribes. 1 year, 1 month, and 5 days elapsed from their going out of Egypt to their leaving Sinai for Paran. And it was then from Kadesh Barnea in the wilderness of Paran that the spies were sent out. One of these, Caleb, when applying for this portion, his portion at the division of the land, said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Joshua 14, verses 7 and 10. Thus we see that it was 45 years from the spying of the land to its division among the tribes as affirmed by Joshua, and a little over a year from the Exodus to the sending out of the spies, making 46 full years in a fraction from the Exodus to the division of the land. The pastor notes that we take account of only the complete years, more accurate count being impossible. Sometimes, as above, the years are fractionally long, and again, some are short. That the Lord has thus overruled and arranged the matter is our confidence, supported by the outcome and the results deducible from it, and the accuracy to a day in even large numbers. So we find from the Exodus to the division of the land was 46 years. The period of the judges. We come now to the most difficult portion of the chronology, the period from the division of the land to the anointing of Saul as king. It is usually termed the period of the judges, though the judges did not fill the office continuously. The record given in the book of Judges in 1 Samuel mentions 19 periods, approximating a total of 450 years. But they are disconnected, broken, lapped, and tangled so much that we could arrive at no definite conclusion from them. But the New Testament supplies the deficiency. Paul states that after God divided their land to them by lot, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. Afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul. Acts 13, verses 19 to 21. The Greek word rendered about in the common version is hos, and has the significance of during or while. This passage would better be translated, he gave unto them judges during the space of 450 years. So we find then that the period of the judges is 450 years in length. The period of the kings is simply a matter of adding the years reigned by the kings of Judah. The line of Judah is used because this is the lineage from which Messiah was to come. Saul's reign was in or during the space of 40 years following the last judge until David was anointed king, as shown in Acts 13:21. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. Following Saul, the periods of the kings in the line of David are easily traced in Chronicles and in Kings thus. David, 1 Kings 2:11. And the days of David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Solomon, 1 Kings 11:42. And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And so on through Zedekiah, 2 Kings 24:18. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. So we find the period of the kings is proven to be 513 years. A word of warning. There is a publication being circulated amongst the brethren which presents very thorough and complex arguments using the kings of the 10 tribes to determine the length of the period of the kings. The adversary is using this argument to discredit and undermine the Bible chronology, and thus the pastor, the harvest message, and its author, our Lord, while being presented as an augmentation to what the Lord through the pastor presents. Remember, Jehovah cast off Israel, the 10 tribes, and chose Judah to rule. 1 Chronicles 28:4 and 2 Kings 17, verses 18 to 23. And Messiah came through the line of the kings of Judah, not the kings of the 10 tribes. This argument is based solely on one broken and jumbled account of the reign of the kings of the 10 tribes found in Kings. not on two accounts, from Kings and Chronicles, as provided for the kings of Judah. Additionally, as we have already noted, the returned Lord made that servant master over all his goods to bring forth meat in due season, including the chronology of the kings. The 70 years desolation. This brings us to the period of the desolation of the land, which lasted 70 years, ending with the restoration of the people from Babylon in the first year of Cyrus, B.C. 536. 2 Chronicles 36, 20-23. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and to his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years, or 70 years. Now in the first reign of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord, spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah, might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, "All the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." So we find the period of the desolation to be 70 years. The period from the restoration to AD 1873. The period from the time of the restoration of the Jews from Babylon at the close of the 70 years desolation of their land in the first year of Cyrus down to the date known as AD 1 is not covered in Bible chronology. But as before stated, it is well established in secular history as a period of 536 years. This brings us to AD 1, and from AD 1 to 1873 is a period of 1872 years. Thus we have found a clear and connected line of chronology from creation to the beginning of the Christian era, AD, in all a period of 4,128 years, which together with the 1872 years of the Christian era makes 6,000 years from creation to the end of the year, October 1872, or the beginning of the year, AD 1873. The date of our Lord's birth. In the 6th century, the church began to reckon time from the birth of our Lord and fixed the date AD as it now stands, namely, 536 years after the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Whether they placed it correctly or not does not affect the chronology as just given, which shows that the 6,000 years from the creation of Adam ended with AD 1872, because it is 1872 years since the year designated AD, and the first year of Cyrus was 536 years before the year AD, whether it was the year of our Lord's birth or not. The scriptural evidence which shows that our Lord's birth occurred 1 year and 3 months prior to January 81. Our Lord's ministry lasted 3.5 years. The 69 symbolic weeks of years reached to his baptism and anointing as Messiah. And there, the last or 70th week, 7 years, of Israel's favor began. He was cut off in death in the middle of the 70th week, 3.5 years from the beginning of his ministry. He was crucified, we know, at the time of Passover, about April 1st. The 3.5 years of his ministry, which ended in April, must consequently have begun about October. And October of some year must have been the true month of his birth, because he delayed not to begin his ministry as soon as he was 30, and could not, according to the law, begin his ministry before he was 30. John the Baptist was 6 months older than our Lord. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 and 36. Hence he was age and began to preach 6 months before our Lord became of age and began his ministry. The date of the beginning of John's ministry is clearly stated to have been the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, the third emperor of Rome. Luke 3, verse 1. This is a clearly fixed date. Tiberius became emperor at the death of Augustus Caesar in the year AD 14. The 15th year of his reign would therefore be AD 29, in which year John began his ministry. Since our Lord's 30th birthday and the beginning of his ministry were in October, and since John's birthday and the beginning of his ministry were just 6 months earlier, it follows that John began his ministry in the spring, about April 1st. So then John was 30 years old in AD 29, about April 1st. Consequently, he was born B.C. 2, about April 1st. And Jesus' birth 6 months later must have been B.C. 2, about October 1st. The determination of the period of the 70 weeks, and keep in mind, this is not the 70 years desolation. Understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And he, Messiah, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, the 70th, or last week, of the covenant of favor. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for, or because of, the overspreading of abominations, he, Messiah, shall make it desolate, even until the consumption or completion and that which is determined in God's plan shall be poured upon the desolate. Daniel 9, verses 23-27. Ezekiel provides us with a key. It says, I have appointed thee each day for a year. So, the 7 plus 62, or 69 weeks to Messiah's death, Daniel 9:25, is a period of 483 years. Bringing us to the 70th week, a period of 7 years, in the midst of the last week he would be cut off, Daniel 9:27, and to the end of that last week, to the end of promised favor to Israel. And probably the baptism of Cornelius, Acts 10, verses 1-48. So we find the length of the 70 weeks prophecy is a period of 490 years. The period of the times of the Gentiles. Luke 21:24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Leviticus 26, verses 17, 18, 24, and 28 tell us, I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. 7 times is 7 years. And each year of the Jewish year is composed of 360 days. With each day representing a year, we multiply 7 times 360 and we get 2,520 years. And this is the length of the period of the Gentile times. The period of the Jubilees. also been considered somewhat in both services earlier today. Leviticus 23:10-16 establishes their Sabbath, and the seventh Sabbath, and their 50th or day or Pentecost. Leviticus 25:8-15 establishes the Jubilee observance. Leviticus 26:32-35 tells us the land would be desolate and enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it was desolate, if it did not rest in the Sabbaths when Israel was upon it. Jeremiah 25:11-12 and 29:10 tell us that there were to be 70 Jubilee years, that is, 70 Jubilee cycles. To calculate the time of Pentecost, we multiply 7 days by 7 days, giving us 49 days, with the following 50th day being Pentecost. To calculate a Jubilee, we multiply 7 years times 7 years, giving 49 years, which brings us to the Jubilee year. To calculate, then, the total length of the Jubilee cycles not observed, using the pattern suggested in Israel's observance and recognizing that it is a larger or grander application, we multiply the full cycle, or 50 times 50. And this gives us 2,500 years. Israel began the Jubilee observance when they entered the land, just after they crossed Jordan. They observed 19 Jubilee cycles before they went into the 70th year, or the 70-year Babylonish captivity. The fact that these were only partially or imperfectly kept does not matter when calculating using this law calculation. This shows what should have been, and simply stated, is the 50 times 50 equaling 2,500. This calculation includes the Jubilee years, which began counting at the last observed Jubilee, which they kept just 19 years before they went into the Babylonian captivity. So, from the last or 19th Jubilee to the beginning of the desolation of the land was 19 years. The period of desolation, as we've seen, is 70 years. From the restoration of Israel by Cyrus to the date known as AD 1, 536 years. Hence, from their last Jubilee to AD 1 is a period of 625 years. And since AD 1 to complete the cycle of 2,500 years is 1,875 years. Thus, from the last observed Jubilee to the end of the last Jubilee via the law calculation is 2,500 years. Now remember, in looking at this calculation of the Jubilee years are included. So when we get to the last one, which should be bring us to the antitype, which we've already seen in earlier considerations, is the grander consideration, we replace the last Jubilee with the antitype. And the antitype, the grand Jubilee, is a period of 1,000 years. So it begins not at the end of 1875 or the beginning of 1876, but the end of 1874 and the beginning of 1875. The prophetic calculation is based on the actual way the Jubilee observances were and were not kept. And this is the calculation that is shown on the chart. For this calculation, we use the 51 Jubilee cycles which were not kept. The Jubilee year is not included in the determination of the length of the time involved. Thus, we multiply 49 times 51, which gives us 2,499 years, which is added to the 19 partially observed cycles. So the 19 partially kept cycles with Jubilees added, 50 years each, is a period of 950 years. The 51 cycles without Jubilees, 49 years each, is a period of 2,499 years. Add these together and we have, for the 70 cycles, which gives us 3,449 years. Then to calculate this application, from the entering of the land, when they began their Jubilee counting, 6 years. The period of the judges to Saul the king, 450 years. The period of the kings, 513 years. The period of desolation, 70 years. And from the restoration to 81, 536 years. Since 81, then, to complete, or excuse me, the total number of years from the entering Canaan to the date known as 81 is 1,575 years. And to complete the 3,449 years, we add 1,874 years. 70 cycles of jubilee until the Antitype, the Great Jubilee, or Times of Restitution, ending October A.D. 1874. Both calculations bring us to the same date. The period of Israel's double. The chronology runs smoothly until Jacob's death, but from that date until the coming out of Egypt, there is no full record. The New Testament gives us the connecting link in Acts 7, 1-6. It is a period of 430 years from the covenant at the death of Terah, Abraham's father, to Israel's exodus from Egypt. We find the hidden period between the death of Jacob and Israel's coming out of Egypt by first calculating the period from the death of Terah to the death of Jacob, and then deducting that number of years from the 430 years, the period from Terah's death to the exodus from Egypt. From the covenant to the birth of Isaac, Genesis 21:5 tells us is 25 years. From Isaac to Jacob's birth, Genesis 25:26 tells us is 60 years. And from Jacob's birth to his death, Genesis 47:28 tells us was 147 years. So the total years from the Abrahamic covenant to Jacob's death was 232 years. From the covenant to the day that Israel left Egypt at the Passover, as we've already seen, is 430 years. And subtracting the period of the covenant to Jacob's death from that gives us the period from Jacob's death to the Exodus of 198 years. So if we take that period, 198 years, and add it to the time that Israel was in the wilderness, 40 years, the division of Canaan, 6 years, the period of the judges, 450 years, the period of the kings, 513 years, period of desolation, 70 years, and from Cyrus to 81, 536 years, gives us 1,813 years from the death of Jacob to 81. From 81 to the crucifixion, the time of their casting off by the Lord in full years is 32 years, so the total period of Israel's waiting for the kingdom under divine favor is found to be 1,845 years. To find the measure of their double when favor was due and began to return to them, and when therefore it began to depart from the nominal spiritual Israel, we count 1,845 years from the spring of AD 33 and obtain the date of the Passover, AD 1878. Their rising again from AD 1878 to 1915, the closing of the Gentile times, under the favor of the king whom they rejected, corresponds in length with their 37 years of falling from the day their house was left desolate, AD 33, until their utter overthrow in AD 70. The Miller Movement culminated in the year AD 1844, just 30 years before AD 1874. In this we find another striking time parallel between these ages, for these 30 years correspond exactly to the 30 years from the birth of the babe Jesus unto Messiah at the age of 30, Matthew 3:11 and John 3:29. The full force of this parallelism is not obtained unless it is noticed that the Jubilee cycles and the Gentile times mark the periods which correspond so exactly with these Jewish parallels. It is not imagination that the Jewish and Christian ages are type and antitype. The apostles and prophets testify to their correspondency. Nor do we rely merely on the parallels in proof of the harvest work of the Christian dispensation. This harvest is already shown, is otherwise marked, both its beginning and ending. The Jubilee cycles prove that our Lord Jesus was due to be present and began the restitution work in the fall of 1874 AD. And the parallelism above referred to shows that date, 1874, to correspond exactly with the anointing of Jesus as Messiah at the beginning of the Jewish harvest, at the first advent. The Gentile times prove that the lease of power to the Gentile governments expired in AD 1915. And the parallelism above shows that this period corresponds exactly with the year 70 AD, which witnessed the completion of the downfall of the Jewish polity. A reasonable question, then, in view of all this, is, are these time correspondences mere accidents, or are they of the same divine ordering which we have seen arrange the other affairs of the fleshly house as shadows of the realities of this dispensation? No, they are not accidental. Undoubtedly, the same all-wise one who taught us through the chronology that 6,000 years from Adam's creation ended with AD 1872, who through the Jubilee cycles taught us that the Lord would be present and the times of restitution begin in the fall of 1874, and who through the times of the Gentiles showed us that we must not expect these things to be done in haste, but by seemingly natural means covered a period of 40 years, has in these parallel dispensations marked Israel's double, given us evidence which not only itself teaches clearly the Lord's presence, the harvest and the restitution beginning with favor to fleshly Israel, but at the same time furnishes a proof of the correctness of the other prophetic evidences and of chronology. For be it distinctly noticed that if the chronology or any of these time proofs be changed but 1 year, the beauty and force of the parallelisms are destroyed. For instance, if the chronology be altered but 1 year more or less, if we add 1 year, say, to the period of the kings or the judges, or if we make it 1 year less, it would spoil the parallelism. If we should add 1 year, it would make the first year of Israel's periods 1,846 years long, and the double or other half of it would thus be thrown 1 year later. While on the contrary, by such a change of the chronology, the Jubilee cycles would be thrown 1 year earlier, A.D. 1873. And it would make the 6,000 years end in A.D. 1871, while the Gentile times would not be affected at all. All can see that the harmony or parallelism would thus be utterly destroyed. Or if 1 year should be deducted from the chronological reckoning, the confusion would be just as great, the changes to the several periods being in the opposite direction. Thus, these various time prophecies corroborate each other, while the parallelisms of the two dispensations clinches their testimony. The prophecies here presented are unstrained and without twisting or whittling. We simply present them as we find them in God's Word. And having correct expectation from God's great plan of the ages, it is easy for those seeing it clearly to note how the various prophetic chains fit to it and measure it. They mark it, some at one important point and some at another. And to such as see this much, this parallelism of the Jewish and Christian dispensations shows and proves beyond reasonable doubt the correctness of all the others. The statement of the time proof periods of God's plan furnished in the prophecies is very similar to an architect's specifications. And the parallels of the Jewish dispensation resemble his outlying drawings. Suppose we had an architect's specification for a house without any drawings and were to sit down and make a drawing from the specifications, and afterwards should receive from the architect his outline drawings of the prospective building. If a comparison of it with our own sketch made from the specification showed all the angles and measures exactly alike, we should be doubly assured as to our correct understanding of those specifications. So here, the drawing, the type or shadow of the gospel age furnished us in the Jewish age, and the correspondence of prophecies and events with those foreshadows give us a strong assurance of the correctness of our conclusions as could be asked, while we still walk by faith and not by sight. Even so brief an overview demonstrates the validity and correctness of the chronology. Not the pastor's, but the Lord's chronology from the Bible. Chronology is given not just to strengthen our faith, but so we can know where we are in God's plan. And in knowing, to appropriately and properly participate therein. Or be workers together with Him. 2 Corinthians 6:1. May the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Darcy. It's good to cover 6,000 years worth of history in such a short period of time. We are indeed grateful that we are privileged to see these truths. You know, when you think of it mathematically, working out to the day, even though the little details in between are not there, that is quite reassuring. And we don't need to go beyond that because this is the truth. Sure are grateful for that. Brother Darcy has requested hymn number 22 to close, Blessed Bible.
Gracious, kind, all-wise, loving Heavenly Father, we recognize Thee as the great first cause, the author of the plan of salvation. And we thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast granted that we can understand something of Thy wondrous plan, and especially that we can recognize the chronology provided, and that in this time of the end, we have the privilege of understanding, of knowing exactly where we are, and of what we should be doing. Father, we seek Thy forgiveness wherein we may have erred or spoken amiss during this hour. We pray Thy blessing upon our further considerations that we might more fully appreciate Thee and Thy plan and be drawn closer to Thee and to one another in cooperation in Thy work. We thank Thee and we praise Thee and we ask all according to Thy will in Jesus. Amen.